Before we begin, just a little trigger warning for today's episode. I will be discussing baby loss and termination of pregnancy. If you're not in a place to hear this subject matter, please feel free to skip this episode and revisit at a later date. Welcome to Mumfessions, the podcast that will normalise all of the challenges of motherhood. I'm Laura Guckian, life coach, founder of Mind Mommy Coaching, and most importantly, mum of three. This podcast is unlike any other motherhood podcast because you will be my guests. Each week, I will invite you to share your mumfession. A mumfession is any experience or feeling you are having as a mum, but you're too afraid to share. The stuff that makes you feel like you're alone or that you're doing this whole motherhood thing wrong. I want to first of all help you recognize you are not alone and you are not doing it wrong. But most importantly, give you the tools you need to navigate it. This is the emotional village that you need. To make sure you don't miss any other episodes of Mumfessions, please hit the follow or subscribe button on whatever platform you are listening. And if you would like extra tools, please go and visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching. Coming up this week.
When I wake up to the sound of the monitors in the morning, I just don't look forward to seeing them. It's like I don't have the space for it.
We do not have time for our inner critic. We do not have time for the shoulds. We do not have time for any of this excess stress and pressure.
I feel guilty. I feel, had I not let go of Bo, maybe Frankie wouldn't have had all the problems. I don't know, do other women feel like that? Who've been in this situation before.
It's a part of motherhood that so many women navigate alone. And I think this is part of why maybe I don't talk about it and maybe why other women don't talk about it, but we need to. Today's episode is sponsored by Rescue Remedy, a brand that has been trusted for over 80 years. Rescue Remedy provides comfort and reassurance to calm and support your emotional balance during some of the more challenging days of motherhood. A must-have for any busy mum. Welcome back to this week's episode of Mumfessions. So like every week, I am going to share an experience I had or a feeling as a mother that you might also be able to relate to. And in me sharing it, it will help you recognize you're not alone. This is probably a little bit of a different one to share. And the reason I'm sharing it is I feel very passionately that social media is one of the most damaging places for a mother to be. And you're probably like, why are you saying that, Laura? You have built a whole community on social media. You have a business on social media. And yes, I do. But I think something has happened, and maybe it's just me feeling like this, over the last number of months, where for me, social media was always a place where I could escape to, you know, I'd be entertained, I'd be educated, I'd be inspired. And recently, it hasn't been a good place for me. And I'm going to share why. I'm going to share what happened. And then I'm going to talk you through five things I did to overcome it. So back in January, when to the outside world, it would have looked like, oh my goodness, Laura has just launched her podcast. It's number one. All of these amazing things are happening for Laura. Oh my goodness. I didn't feel like that. I had a really, really tough January where I felt like I wasn't enough. I felt completely depleted. And it actually got to a stage where I was about to sit down with my husband and say, I'm giving this up. I can't do Mind Mommy Coaching anymore. I can't do this. I'm going to give it up. I'm going to take some time at home with my children because I can't do it anymore. And I literally was about to sit down with him. I was going to give it all up. And this is why, because the first thing is I was comparing to everyone else that I was seeing on social media, other women that I was perceiving to be doing more than me or getting more opportunities than me. And instead of celebrating those women, I was looking at myself going, why can't you do that, Laura? You're not working hard enough. You didn't do enough. Why is it not working for you? And this was at a time, remember, when everyone else was like, oh my God, congratulations on your podcast. Like, on paper, it looked like I was at a peak moment in my career. But inside, I felt utterly like I'm failing. I'm not enough. I can't do this. The imposter syndrome like set in, which is rubbish because I'm really good at what I do. And that took me a long time to say. I'm really good at what I do. I love what I do. So that was the first thing. I was looking at other women going, why can't I do that? The second thing, which I'm not sure if I should, again, I just said should there, see the way I caught it. I'm not sure if I want to talk about this, but I'm going to. And this is an unpopular opinion because I know as women, we're all supposed to celebrate each other. And I spoke about this in a post recently about International Women's Day, and I got a lot of backlash about it. But it's the fact that not every woman celebrates another woman. And actually, in my experience, this is going to be very controversial. I have had some amazing women in my life. I still have some amazing women in my life that work with me, that support me. But then there's other women who I have practically begged for support. I've knocked on their door and they've never let me in. And it feels like for a certain group of women, unless you're within the clique, unless you are a certain type, they don't celebrate you. And that's fine. We don't all have to celebrate each other. That's fine. But what's happening now and what I'm seeing is something that's not fine. And that's where other women are trying to promote themselves by tearing another woman down. And again, oh God, I can't believe I'm talking about this, but we don't have to celebrate each other. But why do we have to tear someone else down to try and celebrate ourselves or promote ourselves? And over the last few months, as my profile has grown, I have had other women, not naming me, but indirectly tearing down my profession, creating reels that are not naming me, but tearing down my work. And I didn't really take much notice of them until all of you lovely people in my online community on Instagram started sharing them with me. And it really got to me because as an autistic woman, I have always been really self-conscious. I have always felt like I didn't fit in. I've always felt not good enough. And that's something I really worked on over the last number of years. And with Mind Mommy coaching, I just seemed to shed it all because that, on top of receiving messages from other women, again, just tearing down my work or saying, why aren't you talking about this? And I'm not talking about the messages that are really clearly not nice messages. I'm talking about the ones that are wrapped in of, I'm entitled to my opinion. You know, I really love your stuff, but... And it's like, nobody talks about this when they're online. Nobody talks about that part. And I'm just human and I have feelings. And it really got to me in January and February to the point where I was going to give up. And what a pity that would have been because I'm not giving up. Girls, I am so excited to finally share some big news with you. I have been working really, really hard behind the scenes to create something amazing for you. If you are feeling exhausted, overwhelmed, like you have no idea who you are anymore, if you are utterly fed up with trying to constantly juggle it all, if you want to stop feeling guilty for every move you make in motherhood, if you want to feel happier, calmer, and more in control, but are so stuck you don't know where to begin, then I have the best news for you. Introducing The Village by Mind Mommy Coaching, an online resource that will make you feel seen, heard, and supported 365 days a year. Imagine this. You've got the Mind Mommy Coaching Academy at your fingertips, which gives you the proven tools and strategies to be a happier mum, available to learn in your own time, at your own pace. And guess what? You can engage with a community of like-minded mums 24/7. As a Village member, you will also have access to a range of monthly exclusive online events and classes hosted by me and other experts, all designed to help you navigate the challenges of motherhood. And you also get monthly meetups with all the amazing moms you're going to meet in The Village. So in the absence of The Village, let this be your village. I can't wait to welcome you and get you unstuck. To join The Village, please click the link in the podcast description or visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching. So here's the very first thing I did to get unstuck. I slept. Such a basic thing. Remember what I spoke about in the last episode? Our basic needs. I need sleep. I am someone, particularly as an autistic woman, if I don't get sleep, I can't function. In January and February, I had very disturbed sleep. My four-year-old little autistic boy wakes regularly at night. So without realizing it, I was very sleep deprived. So I prioritized sleep. I went to bed a little bit earlier. I left my phone outside the door. I stopped scrolling and I prioritized sleep. If I couldn't sleep, I prioritized rest. Everything in my being went to reducing any external pressures, anything that might stress me, rest and sleep. So that's the first thing I did. I slept. I gave myself back one of my basic needs. The second thing I did, which was let them. So you've probably all heard of the let them theory. If not, here's what it's about. And I suppose this is what I interpret it to be. We all have things in our life we can control. We have things we can influence and there's things we need to accept. In my sessions with my clients, I call this the CIA. What can you control? What can you influence? What you need to accept? And at the end of the day, I can influence how other people might feel about me, what they might think about me. I can influence if someone wants to work with me or not. But I can't control what anyone else says or does or feels about me. And it was just this really empowering moment of, if there are women consciously going out making reels about me, if there are women who don't know me at 2 o'clock in the morning feeling entitled to send me a really nasty message, let them. Just let them. What they're saying is not true. What they're doing is not true. Let them. I took all the power back. And this is a really key one for your life, even if you can't relate to what I'm saying. If you're worried about what people think about you, if you're worried about what people will say, let them. Let them say whatever they want. Let them do whatever they want. It has no impact on you. They are not you, and it is not true. So that's the second thing. Let them. The third thing I did, which is fundamental, I stopped thinking and I started doing. This I kind of spoke about in the last episode. Not that I don't think anymore, but my husband would always say, if I'm left to think for a long time, I am dangerous. If he sees me in the living room and I'm in a trance, he's literally like, what's going on, Laura? Stop thinking. And it's true. When I have time to think, and I think this is true for any of us, we can escalate things. Things can seem bigger than they are. We start thinking about what if scenarios. We don't have time, girls. We do not have time and energy as mums. So what I have done now is I very consciously, when I feel myself thinking beyond what's needed to think about, I go into action. Whatever that is, I'll get the pen and paper out. What tiny thing can you do? So for me and the business, I have all of these massive goals for it. And I was getting frustrated because it wasn't happening quick enough. But the reality is it just takes time. For every overnight success you see online, there's years of work. So I have built that down into tiny steps. And it's not about when I get it done, it's how I get it done. So that was the third thing. Stop thinking and start acting. The fourth thing was stay in my lane. And this is really key because I think as mums, we compare. What's someone else doing? How are they doing it? She's doing it better. She's doing more than me. Doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. We all have very unique circumstances, very unique life experiences, very unique resources. Everything is different. There is nobody in the world exactly like me. So why am I comparing my progress to somebody who has nothing to do with me? Because I don't know what support they have. So it's really, really key that we stay in our lane and become hyper-focused on our life, our circumstances, what we want, what we need, what's important to us, and just block out everyone else. And the fifth one, which is probably a bit of an emotional one, is I thought about why. What's my why? What's my why for doing this? And those of you who have heard my personal story know my why in great detail. But I thought back to new mom me 7 years ago in the worst possible place of her life, struggling so much with her mental health that she couldn't function, terrified, feeling like the worst mother in the world, overwhelmed with guilt, thinking my life was over. And it was like, Laura, you're doing it for her. You made a promise to her 7 years ago that if you ever figured out why you ended up in hospital, that you would do everything you could to ensure no other mother had that same experience. So I'm doing it for her, and I keep her with me every day now. When I feel like something is particularly hard, I bring it back and go, Laura, you overcame that. This is easy. If I feel myself doubting myself, it's like, Laura, you overcame that. This is easy. And I will not break that promise because I owe it to her. And I owe it to all the women who have ever found motherhood hard and felt like they were failing and they were the worst mother, because we're not. So we have to keep the old version of us somewhere close, whatever version of that it is, be it you as a little girl or you 6 months ago. What did you promise her? And always deliver on that promise. So that was my weekly mumfession. Let's get into today's episode. And remember, keep your pen and paper ready because I will have actions at the end of each mumfession.
So my mumfession is that for a while now, I haven't looked forward to seeing my kids in the morning when they get up. I have a baby and a 2-year-old and I love my kids so much. I love their faces, I love their personalities, I love everything about them. But when I wake up to the sound of the monitors in the morning. I just don't look forward to seeing them. It's like I don't have the space for it in my head at the moment. And I know that that will change. It's just where I am at the moment. But the guilt that I feel about that is just so intense. And then, you know, you kind of get into this pattern of thinking that, okay, I feel so guilty, so I'm going to try to be the best mom that I can be today, and then those days end up actually being the worst. You know, it's like you're tricking yourself into thinking that you need to be the best, and then because you've tricked yourself into thinking that, it's like your fuse is shorter and you're just more likely to be angry. And then the whole thing just starts again. You know, you're angry and you don't want to see them. But you can't go anywhere because you're home by yourself. I love them so much, but I just don't look forward to seeing them in the morning right now.
I just want to catch this one here at the end. She said, I love them, but. I love them, but. I'm going to take that but out straight away. I love them and. You can love them and not look forward to seeing them. You can love them and want to run out of the house. You can love them and find motherhood hard. We need to replace but with and. So what am I hearing here? I hear this all the time. And again, if we think back to our motherhood rule book, if you haven't done that yet, go back to episode one. You need to create your motherhood rule book. What is our belief system around motherhood doing to us? And what I'm hearing from this mom is this immense guilt of, why am I not looking forward to seeing them? I should. I'm not sure if she even said should, but I should be looking forward to seeing them. What's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? Followed by then this pressure of, when she feels like that, I need to remind myself I'm going to do my best today. And even though I spoke about this in season one, that our best looks different every day, that's almost bringing pressure for her then of, well, I need to do my best, so I need to do more. And then she can't do that. And then it's like this vicious cycle of, oh, I didn't do my best. I did it wrong. Now I don't look forward to them. And it just spirals and spirals and spirals. Girls, we don't have time for this. We do not have time for our inner critic. We do not have time for the shoulds. We do not have time for any of this excess stress and pressure when we are navigating motherhood without a village. We don't have time for it. So if you can relate to this voice note, get your pen and paper out, because this is what we're going to do, girls. This is what we're going to do to stop yourself from beating yourself up for not looking forward to seeing your children. And I want you to note, I'm specifically saying what we can do to make you stop beating yourself up. I'm not saying what you can do to look forward to seeing your children. There is a difference. And the reason I'm not saying what you can do to look forward to seeing your children is because this is completely normal. You don't have to look forward to seeing your children every day. It is okay to wake up in the morning and go, oh my God, I'm exhausted. I wish I could just wake up, have 10 calm minutes, go for a shower, eat my breakfast alone, but I can't because I have a toddler crying and I need to run and get them. It's okay to wake up and go, I don't want to be a mother for a day. It's okay to wake up and go, I'm so fed up with this. It's okay to wake up and feel angry, frustrated. It's okay to wake up and feel all of those things. So that is why I'm not working through how to look forward to seeing your children. And instead, let's work through how you can let go of that inner critic and that guilt and that pressure and that expectation you're placing on yourself to look forward to seeing your kids all the time. So here we go. The very first step is, who said, and this is back to the motherhood rule book, who said you have to look forward to seeing your children every day? Where did this come from? For me, I think it's, you know, media, the movies, the good mom. And again, we're saying the good mom again. She doesn't exist. It's rubbish. That term is banned. But who said it? Who created this rule? Because it's not my rule. And it's definitely not your rule. Unless you want it to be. And if you're thinking, they're saying, but no, Laura, I do want to be excited to see my kids every day. That's okay. But then ask yourself, how would I do that? Is that fair? Is that realistic? Or by trying to do that, is it at the expense of my mental well-being? Because I'll be constantly criticizing myself for not meeting it. So that's the first thing. Who said it? Who created that rule? The second thing is, define what best means to you. This mum said, I try to do my best. What is that? Because that looks different for everyone. Your best will look different every day as a mum. And what I mean by that is, particularly during January or February, when I was really depleted and tired, my best that day might have been, you know what, I am going to get a frozen pizza on for dinner. I'm going to let the kids sit down with screen time. I am going to not put the laundry away. That's fine. That's fine by me, because I am operating on very depleted reserves And my priority right now is to rest. And that's fine. Then there could be a day like yesterday where I was on form. I'm recording this now the weekend after Paddy's weekend in Ireland. So the kids were at home yesterday. I got them up. We went for a walk around the town. I brought the three of them to the supermarket. I made lunch. Like, I was just on fire. And that was my best yesterday. Tomorrow or this evening, I might go home and I might be really exhausted and I might be barely able to function with them. Your best will look different every day. So think about what your best means and also recognize that that is going to change every hour of the day. It's very hard to measure it. The third thing is forgive yourself. Like, where is our self-compassion gone? When did we become so hard on ourselves? And I talk about this a lot with my clients. So I work with mums all over the world. I work with Irish mums. I work with mums in the UK and I work with some American mums. And what I will say, and this is probably a sweeping statement coming now, but what I love about my American clients is they just own it. They have a level of compassion and love for themselves that I think culturally growing up in Ireland and the UK, we didn't get. We, particularly in Ireland, it's the thing of if someone even compliments us, we actually can't even take a compliment. I remember on my wedding day, someone, you know, everyone was like, oh my God, you're beautiful, Laura. And I was like, oh, really? Yes, I was. I was hours in makeup and hair. I had a professional team looking after me. I mean, where did this come from? I wish I could bottle up my American clients and give it to all of you because there is a level of love and compassion there for themselves that, and again, this is a sweeping statement that I don't think we have. So swap it, like talk to yourself like you talk to your children. Talk to yourself like you talk to your best friend. You are the most important person in your life. It's okay to meet yourself with compassion and kindness and fairness and stop beating yourself up for things that are never possible. The fourth thing is you do love your children. Remember when I took out but and replaced it with and? You can love your children and not look forward to seeing them. You can love your children and want time to yourself. You love them. Full stop. That's all there is to say about that. No matter what you're feeling or doing as a mum, you love your children. You always have and you always will. And the final one, which is number five, and I talk about it all the time. Instead of criticizing yourself, ask yourself, what needs to happen to fill up my reserves? I've spoken about reserves a lot. If you haven't heard me talk about it, go back to season one. I don't talk about self-care. I talk about reserves. When my reserves are depleted, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I have a short fuse, I hate life, I hate motherhood, I hate everyone. I'm not nice to be around. When my reserves are full, I'm happy. I'm able to be there for my children. Life is just easier. So what small thing can you do to fill up your reserves? And when can you do it? Give yourself permission to do it. It's not selfish. It's essential. Thank you to Rescue Remedy for supporting this podcast. As a busy mum of three, on the days I need a little extra support, I always reach for Rescue Remedy. Trusted for over 80 years, the formula is the same today as when it was developed more than 80 years ago, with the unique combination of five batch original flower essences. Rescue Remedy provides comfort and reassurance to calm and support your emotional balance during the days when your reserves might be running low. And if, like me, you sometimes find it hard to get a full night of sleep, I like to reach for the Rescue Night Range, which contains white chestnut to help switch off from a racing mind and allow for more restful sleep. And Rescue Night is free from sedatives with no side effects or grogginess the next morning. Rescue Remedy is available from health stores and pharmacies nationwide and also in Supervalu and Tesco. As we're now halfway through this week's episode, if you think you would like to share your mumfession with me and get a little bit of support with it, please feel free to email it to mindmommycoaching@gmail.com or come and say hi on my Instagram page at mindmommycoaching.
I have three wonderful children. Well, four now, but we decided to try for one more child. I just felt like there was one in me and I felt like I wasn't finished. And I had a miscarriage and then I got pregnant again and it was with Beau. And at our 21-week scan, we found out that he had a very, very rare heart condition. And although he was perfect, he never would have survived. And I guess we chose, for want of a better word, to let him go, which is something I don't think people talk enough about. I hate the terminology that's used, like abortion, terminating a pregnancy, because no one in my shoes actually wants to do that. But yeah, So we, at 24 weeks, I was induced with Beau and he passed away. He was actually born alive, and I got to hold him for 10 minutes and then he passed away on my chest. And I went on to get pregnant again, had a miscarriage and then got pregnant again and I got Frankie. But Frankie was born extremely sick at 33 weeks and we were told she probably wouldn't survive. So obviously I feel guilty. I feel had I not let go of Beau, maybe Frankie wouldn't have had all the problems. I feel guilty for what I did, for letting go of Beau. I don't know, do other women feel like that who've been in this situation before? It's really hard, and I know people can say it's not your fault, but it's hard to not feel like it's not your fault. But listen, thanks a million for everything you do. Your page is fantastic and you've been such a sport to lots of women, myself included. So thank you.
Like, I just heard love in all of that. I just felt love and I'm so in awe of this woman for being brave enough to share it. And the reason I'm talking about this is it's not spoken of enough. And I even feel a little bit nervous talking about it, and I'll explain why in a moment. But it's a part of motherhood that so many women navigate alone. And I might use words and phrases here that are not words and phrases you might use. And I want to just say my intention is so good. And I think this is part of why maybe I don't talk about it and maybe why other women don't talk about it. But we need to. And I want to talk about this. Baby loss, miscarriage, termination of pregnancy. God, it's such a big one. And I get messages all the time from women sharing stories exactly like that. And I don't see it anywhere. I don't see it online. I don't see people talking about it. And I want to talk about it today. I want to talk about my experience of it. I want to talk about this amazing mother's experience of it. And let's talk about a few things we can do that, if you can relate to any of this, that maybe it can help in some way. So we'll kick it off with my experience. And again, this is something I haven't really spoken about. And that might sound strange to some of you because I have basically openly shared the most vulnerable time of my life. I've spoken about it in detail and I have no problem doing so, but I haven't really spoken about this and I don't know why. We might figure it out as I talk through it, but I have three beautiful children. I have a near 8-year-old, I have a 4-year-old and a 2.5-year-old. When I had my first Leo, obviously you all know that story. If you don't, maybe we'll do a podcast about it. I really struggled with my mental health to the point where I checked myself into a psychiatric hospital for 2 months. It took 3 years to rebuild my life. Any mother listening to that, I felt like the worst mother in the world. I was terrified and it was a very hard decision for me to have a second baby. I made the decision to have a second baby and I had 2 miscarriages. Wow, Jesus, I don't even know why I'm upset now. This is what I mean. You think you process something as a woman and the first one was like a shock. It was like, oh, no, but other people have miscarriages. I don't have a miscarriage. Sure, I had a healthy pregnancy. And I remember in that moment thinking, oh my goodness, Laura, how naive were you with Leo to think positive test equals baby? And like, it's like my whole world was shattered. I was like, how did this happen? No, nobody has a miscarriage. I couldn't see anyone that had a miscarriage. I felt like I was the only woman in the world. And then second of all, the guilt came. Well, this happened because you're not a good enough mother, because this is how you dealt with motherhood the first time, which I know is not true now. But at the time, I thought that was true. So overcame that miscarriage and was like, right, we'll try again. We'll try again because I want to give Leo a sibling. And this miscarriage was completely different. The first one was a little bit earlier on. And that in itself is hard because it was the shock of, oh, I'm pregnant. Oh, wait, I'm not. What just happened? It was very quick. And it almost felt like, oh, that's not a real miscarriage. That's not real. Like I had all these thoughts. I didn't even imagine I'd have a second miscarriage because who has 2 miscarriages, right? Like nobody has one to begin with. So how could I have 2? So pregnancy was going fine, was taking all the tests. You know, anyone that's experienced a miscarriage, you've probably done this. The line is getting darker. It's getting darker. We're good. Was feeling pregnant and suddenly I was about, 7.5 weeks? This is where this story gets really hard to tell. And I had some spotting. Didn't think much of it though, because I had spotting in other pregnancies. Went down to my consultant, had a scan, and it was like, there's no heartbeat, Laura. And I was like, right, okay. And this is where it got tricky because I knew my dates were right, but he was like, look, your dates might be wrong. So if your dates are wrong, then this is, and the word they use, a viable. This is a viable pregnancy. It just means you're 5 weeks pregnant. I knew I wasn't. He was like, if your dates are wrong, there's nothing wrong with this pregnancy. If your dates are correct, this is not viable. And I kept thinking, what do you mean by viable? What do you mean by viable? I feel pregnant. I look pregnant. I went home in shock going, this can't be happening again. So I was in this denial for 2 weeks because I continued to feel pregnant. And I was like, oh, maybe the dates are wrong. Went back down and I was just in denial. I was like, I can't be having another miscarriage. So to anyone who is not familiar with the laws of Ireland, up until very recently, it was illegal to, I hate this word, have an abortion, to terminate a pregnancy. The laws changed. Unfortunately for me, this was happening in December 2018. And the law was not coming into effect until January 2019. And he said to me, if this was in January, I could do a D&C now, but I can't because it's still illegal because I need to prove this is definitely not viable. And it was the cruelest thing I had ever experienced as a woman. I was emotionally a wreck. I just wanted it done and I couldn't do it. I had to wait 3.5 weeks over Christmas, still carrying my baby, knowing it wasn't viable, knowing I was going to lose it, still feeling pregnant, my bump was growing. Because that's the thing, our body tricks us. It tricks us, but also, and I think this is quite beautiful, I think our bodies do everything they can to protect the baby. And I think they never, ever give up on the baby. So went through Christmas and I was then finally, they were like, okay, we can do a D&C, booked in. And I miscarried at home. The trauma of it, and as I'm talking about it now, I have never processed this. I have never spoken about it in this detail. And I don't think I was able to process it because of what I had just gone through with my mental health. I almost like drew a line under it, move on. And lucky for me, I got pregnant with Alex a couple of months later, beautiful, healthy baby, and was even more lucky to go on and have Anna. Why am I sharing my story with you? I think it's to demonstrate that even I, someone who speaks about everything, I haven't shared my story. And I feel I'm not entitled to, because when I hear stories like this and when I hear from other women who have lost their baby later in pregnancy or after delivery, I almost feel like I'm not entitled to. Back to this mum. I didn't really intend to go into that much detail, but all I hear in this is love. And I think in this situation, there is genuinely no right or wrong thing to do. And I think, I always say this, nothing in life is black and white. Nothing in motherhood is black and white. From what this amazing mum is saying, there was no decision here that was going to change the outcome. And I love the way she has used the language, we let him go. We let Bo go. We let him go. And even in that, it sounds to me like she did it with love. And it's the hardest decision any mother could make. She did it with love. And to hear that she also had a miscarriage before and after that, it's just, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. It's just a whole part of motherhood that we don't hear about. And the guilt she is carrying of, did I do the right thing? Is this because I did something wrong? I don't know how other mothers feel about it. Like, there is no right or wrong thing to do. And it's funny. It's not funny at all. But even in my role, as if I put my professional hat on here as a life coach, this is something I should, again, I've said should, put my professional hat on and talk around it. But even for me, I'm like, am I saying the right words? Am I going to say something that's going to upset someone? Is there someone listening that I'm going to name it something that it's not? Because I think for me, whether you lose your baby at 5 weeks pregnant or, you know, in the days after having your baby, it's a loss. It's a loss. And I think it's important to recognize that and to grieve it and to name it for what it is. And I also think it's so important to share it, because I speak to women who go through this alone. The only person that knows is their partner. I have spoken to women where their partner doesn't even know. And they are going through this grief all alone. And it just needs to change. It just needs to change. And I don't really know what else to say about this, only that none of this was your fault. You didn't do anything to cause this. And we will never know why. And I say that because I was searching for answers. Why did this happen to me? Why? There's no why. Did I do something? This is my fault. I was a bad mother. Maybe I was too stressed. I'm just, there's no why. We're never going to get our why. And we're never going to feel okay about it. But I think it's important to open the chapter, sit in it, feel it, kind of what I did today, and realize it did happen. It was real. It was valid. It was hard. It is hard. And you didn't do anything to cause it. Okay, so if you can relate to anything I shared about my experience today, anything that this brave mother has shared about her experience, I want to take you through three things. Not to make this feeling ever go away, not to ever make it feel completely okay, not for you to ever have to close this chapter. It's always going to be a part of you. It's always going to feel painful, but for you to recognize you're not alone, to recognize you didn't do anything to cause this, and to recognize you're not the only one searching for why and feeling the frustration of never getting your why. So the first thing is the guilt you may be feeling. And if you're not feeling guilt, that's okay too. Again, there's no right or wrong way to feel about any of this. The guilt, did I do something wrong? Did I lift that box? Maybe if I did this, maybe if I did that, is it my fault? I should have done. You didn't cause this. You didn't cause this. Let it go. You didn't cause this. The second thing is the grief. And I think giving yourself permission to recognize it is a loss, no matter what stage it happened in your pregnancy or after your baby was born, that there was no right or wrong thing to do, that if you were faced with a decision like this brave mum, there is no rule book on what to do there. It's not something anyone ever talks about. And recognize it is grief and give yourself permission to grieve, to process it, seek support if you need to, reach out to an expert or a professional that can help you work through it. But please don't feel like you have to do it alone. There's no guilt, there's no shame, and allow yourself to grieve. The other key part about the grief to recognize is the what ifs. When the due date came, when the birthday was going to be, the sitting around with your other children, wondering what would it be like if that other little person was here. And I still do that. And actually, I didn't realize the level I do that until I started speaking about it today. It's the always wondering what could have been, what would have been, what age would they be, what would they have looked like? And always feeling like there's a missing part of you that never got to be. And for me, I think that has been the hardest part of baby loss. It's who would they have been? It's the stolen moments. It's the stolen what ifs. It's the opportunity robbed from you and never knowing why. So this next thing I'm going to share with you is particularly important if you can relate to that. And it's something I learned about. And when I did, it was the most validating moment. It also really helped me. And that is that when we become pregnant, our baby's DNA transfers to us. That DNA never ever leaves us. They never leave us. Our babies are always with us. And I like to think about that when it's a random Tuesday, 4 o'clock, and suddenly the sadness or the grief hits me. Four years on, 5 years on, it's still hitting me. And I start thinking, what if? And I just remember that. But they are here. They're part of me now. They are with me. I am forever changed because of them. My actual DNA has changed. And while I never got to see them, to hold them, to feed them, to comfort them, they are going to be with me forever. And I really hope by me sharing that, you can take comfort in that too. That in the hard moments of grief and wondering what if, you recognize they haven't left you. They're there. They'll always be with you. I know that was quite a tough mumfession, and I really hope that if you were in a place to listen to it, that in some way it has helped you recognize you're not alone, you didn't do anything wrong, and that there's no timeline to grieve this. There's no timeline on when it will feel different. There's no way you should feel, and that each journey is very unique. And I just thank you for listening to that. And I especially thank this amazing mum for sharing her story, because I have no doubt it is going to help so many of you. Before we finish up today's episode, I just want to say it was a tough one. It was a tough one for me personally. I didn't plan on sharing so much of me. I feel a little bit vulnerable. And even as I think back, I'm like, did I say it right? Did I say it enough? Again, me saying, did I do it right? Something that comes up in motherhood. But I hope if you did listen to all of today's episode that you can take away what I said at the start. What you see is not always the reality. Think of me in January feeling really low and about to give up when to the outside world it looked like I was at my best. Replace but with and. I can love my children and not want to see them. And just recognize that if you do experience baby loss, if you have experienced baby loss, if you know anyone that has been going through this, that I really hope there was a snippet of something you took from that that can help in a tiny little way. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you found today's episode helpful. Please hit the subscribe or follow button. But most importantly, please share with your friends. Because if you related to any of the topics on today's episode, I promise you they will relate too. You can also leave me a review and a rating wherever you're listening. I'd really appreciate it. If you would like to avail of some additional resources, please visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching. I hope you have a wonderful week. And remember, it's not selfish to mind mommy, it's essential. Thank you to Rescue Remedy for supporting this podcast. Mumfessions is an Insanity Studios production. The podcast production manager was Charlotte Mason. The podcast producer was Saffron Mirza. And the podcast production assistant was Abby Sandler. This podcast was recorded in Take 9 Studios in Cork.